From the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4, entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 22. Prachetascho Namo Namaklesha Vinashanaya Nirupito Dara Gunahvayaya Mano Vacho Vega Purojavaya Sarvaksha Margai Ragatadvane Namaha. Poured by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Prachetas spoke as follows. Dear Lord, You relieve all kinds of material distress. Your magnanimous transcendental qualities and holy name are all auspicious. This conclusion is already settled. You can go faster than the speed of mind and words. You cannot be perceived by material senses. We therefore offer you respectful obeisances again and again. Purport. The word nirupita, meaning concluded, is very significant in this verse. No one has to conduct research work to find God or make progress in spiritual knowledge. Everything is conclusively there in the Vedas. Therefore, the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridisan nivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaisht sarvair aham eva vedyah vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. Understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of Vedas is perfect and conclusive. The Vedas state, Atah Shri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyaihi. The transcendental names, forms, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of the Lord cannot be understood by our blunt material senses. Sevon mukhehi jivha adau swayameva spuratyada. When a devotee engages his senses favorably in devotional service, the Lord through His causeless mercy reveals Himself to the devotee. This is the conclusive Vedic process. The Vedas also indicate that simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can without a doubt become spiritually advanced. We cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the speed of mind or words. But if we stick to devotional service, we can easily and quickly approach Him. In other words, the Supreme Lord is attracted by devotional service and He can be approached and He can approach us more swiftly than we can approach Him with our mental speculation. The Lord has stated that He is beyond the range of mental speculation and the speed of thought. Yet He can be approached easily by His causeless mercy. Thus only by His causeless mercy can He be attained. Other methods will not be effective. Om Agni Prachita spoke as follows. Hare Krishna. So, we are discussing this morning from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this chapter we find that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the Prachetas are now beginning to offer their prayers unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari. And two very important points are highlighted in this verse. The Prachetas are firstly offering their obeisances unto the Lord and addressing Him as Klesha Vinashanaya. Klesha Vinashanaya means He who can mitigate all material distress for His devotee. And the second point that the Prachetas are explaining is that Mano Vachaha Vega Puro Javaya. My dear Lord, You cannot be approached by the mind or by the speed of the words, and therefore the conclusion is already settled, nirupita, that only by devotional service can you be approached and understood. So we shall try to focus our discussion on these two points. The first point is that the Lord is known as Klesha Vinashanaya. He who can mitigate and exhaust all the miseries for he who takes shelter of his divine lotus feet in devotional service to him. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, explains the six characteristics of devotional service and explains that the first characteristic of devotional service is kleshagni. Anyone who practices bhakti to the Lord, anyone who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, is freed from all the miseries of material existence. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his apartment, and right down there on the road, there was a truck which was carrying bread. And on the truck it was written, Simply Delicious. Because his bread, the name of the bread was Simply Delicious. Srila Prabhupada from the window saw the truck and saw this name, Simply Delicious. Prabhupada said, not Simply Delicious, Simply Dangerous. Right. There is nothing simply delicious in this world. This material world is a world where padam padam yat vipadam. There is danger at every step. Material miseries are constantly tormenting us. Material miseries are constantly running after us. And therefore an intelligent person takes to devotional service with the view of mitigating all these material miseries. The Lord therefore is known as Klesha Vinasha Naya. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhavji is praying to Lord Sri Krishna and is establishing this very beautiful fact. How by surrendering unto the Lord, all the miseries are mitigated. Tapatrayena avihatasya ghore santapyamanasya bhavadvanisha pashyami nanya sharanam tvangrim dvandva tapatrat amrita bhivarsha. He's explaining, tapatrayena, the three tapas, the three miseries of material existence, adhyatmika, adhihotika and adhidaivika, abhihatasya, they have defeated the conditioned soul in his pursuit of happiness. Everyone is pursuing happiness, but his efforts are abhihatasya, defeated by tapatraya, the miseries of material existence. Not only is he defeated in the pursuit of his happiness, but santapya manasya, he is being burnt by the tormenting material miseries. Tapyamana, santapyamana. And therefore in this material world, everyone is suffering like anything. Uddhavji is establishing the fact. Pashyamina anyat, I do not see any other method of mitigating these miseries. Pashyami nanyat, there is only one method by which klesha vinashanaya, all the miseries will be mitigated. Pashyami nanyat sharanam tavangri dvandvata patrat amrita bhivarsha. There is no other way, my dear Lord, except taking shelter of your two lotus feet. Sharanam tava angri dvandva. Your two lotus feet are the only hope for mitigating the miseries of material existence. And Uddhavji is giving a beautiful example. He says, my dear Lord, your two lotus feet are like an atapatra. They are like a wonderful umbrella. Just like now the rainy season is going on and it is not easy for one to stop the rains. But when there is a heavy downpour of rains, one can take an umbrella and protect himself from the rains. However, no matter how much one tries to protect himself even with an umbrella, still the water comes from different directions and wets the body of a person. How wonderful it would be if there is an umbrella which not only shields one from the cold waters, but also creates some heat underneath it, so that one will be perfectly dry and will feel perfectly warm. There is no such umbrella within this world which has an integrated system within. Not only does it screen from the cold waters, but also gives heat from within. Inside there is a heater which is fitted, which dries you. No such umbrella. Uddhavji says, Dvandva tapratrat amrita bhivarsha. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are just like an umbrella. There is a constant downpour of tapatraya, the miseries of material existence. But any living being who takes this umbrella of your two lotus feet will be absolutely unaffected by these miseries. But santapyamana, one is being burnt by these miseries. What is the solution to that? Uddhav ji says, my dear Lord, your lotus feet are not just like an umbrella, but an umbrella which Amrita Abhivarshat. There is a constant downpour of nectar within the umbrella. There is one rain outside, there is another rain inside. The rain of material miseries outside the umbrella. And the rain of Amrita. Amrita Abhivarshat. Abhivarshat means downpour of rainfall. Right. A constant downpour of nectar. So one can not only screen oneself from the material miseries, but if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, one can experience the downpour of sweet nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. The same fact is corroborated by Shripad Shankaracharya also. Samsara dava dahana kula bhishanoru jwala. Samsara dava dahana kula bhishanoru. This world is just like a huge forest fire. And every living being is being burnt by the jwala, by the flames of this fire of material existence, by the material miseries. Tvatpada sarasim sharanagatasya. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are just like a pond. A person who is burning within the material existence should go and jump into a pond of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lakshmi Narsingh Mama Dehi Karavalambam. So one who is being tormented by material miseries must take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which is compared either to an umbrella which showers nectar, or which is compared to a lake within which all the material miseries are mitigated. The Siddhas are giving the same analogy in explaining to the Lord. Ayam tvat katha mrishta piyushanadyam manovarana klesha davagni dagdha. My dear Lord, our mind is just like an elephant. And sometimes the elephant is caught in a forest fire. When the elephant is caught in a forest fire, when the elephant somehow or the other rushes out and jumps into a nearby flowing river, not only is the elephant's burnt skin specified, but the elephant even forgets that qualities of God based on his intellect, based on his mind, and therefore his conclusions were completely erroneous. In his book, Substance and Shadow, His Holiness Swotra Swami Maharaj presents the four arguments given by David Hume and also presents the four refutations based on the Vedic conclusions, how what he says is wrong. And he says how David, he was trying to understand God based on his intellect, but manaha vachaha vega puro javaya. With the speed of the mind, with the speed of the intelligence, one cannot approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And what were the four arguments given by David Hume? First one, he said, God cannot be benevolent. Because if God is benevolent, how can there be pain and pleasures in this world? If God is very merciful, he is all benevolent, there should be no pain and pleasures. The very fact that there is pain and pleasures in this world, God, if there is a God, there is, he is not benevolent. Or then there is no God at all. Secondly, he said, if God is all perfect, why is this world governed by strict laws? In this world we find strict laws existing. If God is all perfect, why does he need laws to govern this universe? If God is all perfect, he should govern the universe without any laws. Thirdly, he said, in this world we find facilities are very frugally distributed. We have very frugal resources in this world. Why, if God is magnanimous? If God is magnanimous, udar, then there should be enough resources for everyone in this world. But we find that resources are frugal. That means God cannot be magnanimous, or then there is no God at all. And finally he said, if this world is like a machine, then it is supposed that all the parts of the machine should function properly. Just like if you have a watch, then all the different chips in the watch perform function properly. But in this world, if this nature is compared to a machine, it does not function properly. There is deficiency. It's not that rains are always sufficient. It's not that summer is always okay. It's not that winters are always moderate. Sometimes the rains are extremes. Sometimes the winters are extreme. Which means it seems that the machine is not working properly. There is a deficiency in this machine. There is no supervision above this machine. Why, if God is infallible? Right. So these four arguments were given by David Hume. First, God cannot be benevolent because there are pains and pleasures in this world. Second, God cannot be all perfect because there are laws in this world. Thirdly, God cannot be magnanimous because resources in this world are very frugal. And fourthly, God cannot be infallible because we find the machine of nature working in a very haphazard manner. Right. His Holiness Swotra Swami Maharaj gives wonderful refutations to these four ideas which were presented by the mental speculation, the mano-vega of David Hume. Right. But the first is, how can God be benevolent if there are pains and pleasures in this world? His Holiness Swotra Swami Maharaj explains that when David Hume is speaking of the pains and pleasures that a living being goes through, he refers living being to the body. Right. Whereas the Vedic point of view is, the living being is not the body, the living being is the spirit soul. So if David Hume is saying that everyone is going through so much pain and pleasure, why, if God is all benevolent, he is referring simply to the body of the living being. Whereas the living being is the spirit soul, who is absolutely freed from the pains and pleasures of this material world. The living entity is Sat-Chit Ananda. The three kleshas of this material world cannot influence him. What can be influenced? Simply the material body. Yet we perceive pain and pleasures, is it not? All of us, when we are slapped, we go through the pain. Anytime someone comes and glorifies us, we experience the pleasure. So if it's only related to the body, how is it that we experience the pain and pleasure? Today evening is India-Pakistan match, right? The example is given of a cricket match. Practically all the Indians today are, Vraj Vihari Prabhu is going to have difficulty today. Self-excellence skill seminars are going on. 86 people are coming yesterday. And today I know it's going to go down to 40 or even lesser than that. Students and everyone in the country of India is going to be glued to their seats. their eyes fixed in a gaze on their television monitors to see what's going to happen in the match between India and Pakistan. A person was seated in his seat comfortably and is watching the India-Pak match. When he sees Sourav Ganguly or Sachin Tendulkar hitting a sixer, you find that guy jumping 3 feet in the sky. Right? He's hit a sixer. Right. And if Sachin Tendulkar is clean bowled, his wicket is down, then he says, bang this table, God, what is this? Completely flabbergasted.
Right.
Now, really speaking, one person in some distant land is taking a piece of wood and is hitting a round object made of cork. What does it have to do with the person who is seated in the seat in his house? Why should he be affected by pain when someone is clean bowled? Or why should he be affected by pleasure when he is hit a sixer? He didn't hit a sixer. Neither was he clean bowled. But he is being affected. Why? Because he is extremely attached to that game. Because of that attachment, whatever is being done on the cricket field is affecting the person. Although he himself is freed from the influence of the cricket field. Similarly, the living entity is absolutely freed from the influence of the miseries in this material world. But because he is attached to the material body, all that comes on the material body he perceives. Just like because the person who is watching the cricket match is attached to the cricket match, whatever is going on the television monitor, he perceives the pain and the pleasure. So, the refutation is very clear. The soul is free from any influences of pain and pleasures, and therefore God is all the time benevolent. Anyone who surrenders unto Him experiences spiritual bliss. Any pain or pleasure that is derived or experienced by the person is because of his attachment to the body. The second argument given by David Hume was that why there are laws governing this universe if God is all perfect. If God is all perfect, then there should be no laws. Everything should be nice. Why laws? If you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. Why should there be laws if God is all perfect? Srila Suvatra Swami Maharaj explains, there are laws because we are in the separated energy of the Lord. This is the separated energy of the Lord, this material world. The real energy of the Lord is the spiritual world. And Srila Suvatra Maharaj explains, this is a land which is governed by the rule of law. But the spiritual world is a land which is governed by the rule of love.
Right.
So the moment we desire to go against Krishna, we are sent to the land of law. Now we cannot say the Lord is imperfect. Just like we cannot say that the government is imperfect. If a prisoner is in the prison, which is a place where which is governed by laws, he cannot say that the government is imperfect because I am being subjected to so many laws. Similarly, we who are here within this material world cannot say that God is imperfect because there are laws. Why are laws there in the prison house? Because I have decided to commit a crime. Why are there laws in the material world? Because I have gone against the Lord. The moment I decide to surrender unto the Lord, I see His all-perfect land, the land of love, the spiritual world. He is the perfect master. He is the perfect controller of everything, yet He is controlled by love. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna is instructing the supreme controller. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna's one name is Rishikesh. Rishikesh means he who is the controller of the senses of all living beings in this world. Which means Krishna is also the controller of Arjuna's senses. Although Krishna is Rishikesh, who is the controller of the senses even of Arjuna, what is Arjuna telling Krishna? Senayor Ubhayor Madhye. Take my chariot amidst the two armies. He who is the controller of all senses of all living beings, including Arjuna, is being controlled by one sense of his devotee. One sense of Arjuna. And what is that sense? Simply Vaka Shakti. Simply some words. He is saying Senayor Ubhayor Madhye, and Krishna is taking the chariot like a servant. When it is in this material world, Krishna is not going to be controlled by the rule of law. But when it comes to his devotee, Krishna is controlled by the rule of love. Therefore, Rishikesh is controlled by a few words of Arjuna, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye. So the Lord is at all times all perfect. But because we have decided to go against Him, we are sent to the land of law, not the land of love. The third argument that was given by David Hume was that resources within this world are very frugal, not equally distributed. And therefore, the Lord cannot be magnanimous. If the Lord was magnanimous, then He would give enough to everyone. Why do we find frugality? Why do we find not enough within this world? One time there was a person who had a poultry farm, and a veterinary inspector came to check the poultry farm. So in the poultry farm, he asked the owner, "What do you feed your hens and chickens?" He said, "I feed them with some grains and some fodder." He said, "Really? How can you do this? I'll go to PETA, right, and tell them that you are torturing your hens and chickens because you're simply giving them some grains and some worn out fodder. So now, if you do not want me to complain, you give me 1,000 rupees. So he took 1,000 rupees from him. Then he went. After a month, he again came. He asked the owner of the poultry farm. He said, "So, what do you feed your hens?" He said, "Now I feed them chapati, sabji, dal, rice. Because last time you took 1,000 rupees, I was giving them simply grains." He said, "Really? There are thousands of people in the street outside who are going hungry, and you are using this chapati, sabji, dal, rice to feed your hens and chickens? Come on, give me 1,000 rupees. Otherwise, I will go to the human rights office and complain to them that you are wasting this food on chickens and hens." The man gave 1,000 rupees. The next time again, the veterinary inspector came in. And he asked the man, "What do you give your hens?" He said, "I give them 20 rupees and ask them whatever you like, you eat and come." Right? Because if I tell you that I give this, then you are going to take 1,000 rupees from me. Resources in this world are frugally distributed. There is not enough for human beings to eat, this man said. Right? When you are giving it to hens and chickens. Right? How if God is all magnanimous? Srila Suhotra Swami Maharaj again continues the example of prison, and he says that in a prison house, do you have enough sufficient resources? Do you have sufficient food to eat? Nice Shrikhand and Puri and nice air-conditioned room. Everything is fantastically arranged. No. Why is it not? Why there is frugality in the prison house? There is frugality because it is a facility for rectification of the criminal. Similarly, the Lord is all magnanimous. But there is frugality of resources in this world because this world is a facility for rectification of the conditioned souls who are sent here. And the fourth argument given by the debutant David Hume was that God cannot be infallible because there is excessive rain, sometimes excessive heat, sometimes excessive cold. This machine of nature seems to be deficient, doesn't function properly. So it seems that there is no one above him. And Srila Suhotra Maharaj explains, this can be refuted by the law of karma. Because of the sinful actions of the living being, there is flood, there is pestilence, there is earthquakes, there is so many miseries within the material existence, does not mean that God is fallible. And Suhotra Swami concludes this by saying, that just like when an animal is hit by a stick, the animal does not understand why he is being hit. He feels that the hitting is chaotic, it is purposeless. Similarly, David Hume is like an animal, Suhotra Maharaj explains. This animalistic person called David Hume, he is being hit by flood, he is being hit by frugality of resources, he is being hit by earthquakes, and he does not understand the purpose. Just like an animal being hit by a stick does not understand the purpose, similarly David Hume, being hit by material miseries, could not understand the purpose why it is made. Srila Suhotra Maharaj giving these 4 points explains why it is so. Thus, when one takes the Vedic conclusion, it is called Nirupitaha. Concluded, it is already concluded. One does not require to use his mental speculation. One does not have to use his mental gymnastics to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And therefore, the Mundaka Upanishad explains, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedhaya Nabahuna Shrupena Yam Evaisha Vrinite Tasya Labha Tasyaiva Atma Vivrite Tanum Swam. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo. If one wants to understand the absolute truth just by giving wonderful lectures, Pravachanena, one may be very good at speaking, one may be quoting hundreds of shlokas, may be knowing so many shastras, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo. The understanding of God cannot come simply by giving erudite lectures. Na Medhaya. The understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not even come by Medhaya, sharp intellect. No. One cannot grab the understanding of the Lord by one's intellect. Na Bahuna Shrutena. Shruti refers to scriptures. If one is learned in the Shruti Shastras, Bahu Shruti, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And which scripture is speaking? The Shruti Shastra. Katha Upanishad is a Shruti Shastra. And Shruti Shastra is saying that Bahuna Shrutena Na. You cannot understand the Supreme Lord by great learning in Shruti Shastras. How can one understand the Supreme Lord? Yam evaisha vrunate tena labhya. Only when the Lord gives His causeless mercy can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is. Otherwise, manaha vachaha vega puro javaya. With the speed of the mind, with the speed of the words, one cannot pursue the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's trying to understand the Lord by His intelligence is like a person's trying to take the torchlight in the night and trying to see the sun. One's intelligence is like an insignificant torchlight. One cannot see the sun, can't demand, now I have the torchlight, I want to see the sun in the night. The sun, when it reveals itself, then a person can see Him. Similarly, with the insignificant, tiny, puny torchlight of one's intelligence, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Or one's trying to understand the Lord with his intelligence and mind is like a frog's trying to understand the ocean. The frog living in the well is trying to understand the ocean based on its limited experience of the well. Not possible. Right. Only when one pleases the Lord and receives the mercy of the Lord, then one can very easily understand that which is concluded by the Vedas, Nirupitaha. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that a child can easily cross all the oceans of Siddhantas simply by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Mande Balopi Yat Anugrahat Tarena Nana Matograha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagarat. If all the philosophies, Siddhantas are compared to an ocean, there is so much confusion. Which is the right conclusion to understand the Lord? Nana mata graha. And there are big, big crocodiles. All the different theories, all the different philosophies to understand the Lord, the speculations are like crocodiles. And people in this world are grabbed by these crocodiles and therefore they never get the right understanding. But Kaviraj Goswami explains, Balopi. Even if it is a child, if he receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anugraha, he can easily tarate, easily cross this ocean of Siddhanta Sagar, where there are big, big crocodiles of mental speculations and theories, and he will come to the perfect conclusion of the absolute truth. So definitely, only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not by one's erudite scholarship, not by one's learning in scriptures. And the classic example for this is Romaharshana Sutta. Romaharshana Sutta was Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva. He was a disciple of none less than the compiler of all the scriptures, Vyasadev. Right. Sa itihasa puranani dharma shastrani sarvasha. Not only was he a disciple of Vyasadev, but he was completely learned in dharma shastras, itihasas, puranas and all the Vedic scriptures. But what happened? Although he was learned in the Vedic scriptures, adantasya, he had no control over his senses. Avinitasya, he was not at all humble. Vritha pandita maninam, he was simply thinking himself to be a scholar. Pandita manina, vritha, uselessly. And therefore, when Lord Balaram came in the assembly, where he was speaking to all of the sages, he was sitting on the Vyasasana and giving erudite lectures on the subject matter of the absolute truth. And here was the absolute truth in the form of Balaram standing right in front of him. But his erudite scholarship, his learning in the Vedas, did not bring humility in his heart. Na gunaya bhavanti sma, there were no good qualities in him. Natasya eva ajitatmana, he was just like an actor. Just like an actor, he takes his script and learns all the dialogues and goes and packs it out on the stage. Similarly, Balramji is explaining, this is Balramji's verse. He's saying that he's like a nutter, an actor who has learnt all the verses and simply patting it out sitting on the grass asana. Therefore, Balramji took a blade of grass and killed Romaharshan Suta. So here was a person who was completely learned, right? He was giving erudite pravachans. He was medhaya, very intelligent, right? Not only that, bahuna shrutena, very learned in all the Shruti Shastras, but could not understand the absolute truth because he had not received the mercy of the absolute truth. On the other hand, anyone who receives the mercy of the Lord automatically understands the Supreme Lord completely. And how can one achieve the mercy of the Lord? One cannot achieve the mercy of the Lord unless one gets the favor of a devotee. Therefore, in the Shandilya Smriti, it is said, Siddho bhavati na vaneti samshayo api achyutah nisamshayo astu tad bhaktah paricharya ratatmanam. He says, Siddhir bhavati vaneti. I do not know if you worship the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whether you will get perfection or not, it is doubtful, samshaya. There is a doubt simply by worshipping Krishna whether you will get perfection or not. But if one worships the devotee of the Lord, perfection is guaranteed. And the classic example for this comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes running after taking sannyas and faints in Jagannath temple. And Sarvam Bhattacharya carries Lord Chaitanya's body to his house. The brother-in-law of Sarvam Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, comes to the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya. And when Sarvam Bhattacharya inquires from Gopinath Acharya about the identity of this sannyasi, Gopinath Acharya says he is none other but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself. At that time, all the disciples of Sarvam Bhattacharya are completely confused and they say, Shishyagana kahe Ishwar kaho kon pramane, Acharya kahe vigyamata Ishwar lakshane. Shishyagana kahe, all the disciples say, what is your praman? You are saying his Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gopinath Acharya says, simply by seeing his lakshan, I can say that he is the Supreme Lord. Shishya kahe Ishwar tattva sadhi anumane, Acharya kahe anumane, nahi Ishwar jane. All the Shishya says, in order to understand the absolute truth, you have to use your anuman, your mind and intelligence. Acharya kohe anumane nahi Ishwar jane. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's anuman. Anumana praman nahe Ishwar tattva jane, kripavina Ishwar keha ahe nahi jane. Anuman pramane, one cannot ever establish the absolute truth by anuman praman. How? Kripavina Ishwarera. Without the kripa, without the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one can never understand Krishna. And at that time, he quotes a verse from the prayers of Brahmaji to Lord Krishna. Athapite deva padam bhujat doya prasad leshanu grihit evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chiram vichinvan. Athapite deva padam bhujat doya. Unless, my dear Lord, someone is benedicted by prasad, your mercy, a bit of your mercy, he will never be able to understand you as you are. Others may go on speculating for years and years from the Vedic literatures, but you who are mano vacha vega purojavaya, beyond the speed of mind and intellect, cannot be understood by them. At that time, he told Sarvam Bhattacharya, yadyapi jagat guru tumi shastra gyanavan prithiviti nahi pandit tomara saman. On this whole planet earth, there is no pandit bigger than you. And you are a jagat guru, practically the spiritual master of the whole world. You are shastra gyanavan, you have knowledge of all the scriptures. But Ishwarera kripa lesha nahi kato mate, ata eva Ishwar tattva napara janite. Because you have not received the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will never be able to understand Ishwar tattva. Right? And therefore, Gopinath Acharya tried to present to him all arguments from Shastra, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not agree. Finally, when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was defeated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a devotee. And then when they were cleaning the Gundicha temple, he was himself now concluding. He went to Gopinath Acharya and said to Gopinath Acharya, तार्किक श्री गान संगे भेव भेव करी से मुखे एबे सदा कही कृष्ण हरी। माय डियर गोपीनाथ आचार्य, आय वॉज इन दिस असोसिएशन ऑफ लॉजिशियंस हु आर लाइक जैकॉल्स, तार्किक श्री गान संगे भेव भेव करी एंड आई वॉज डूइंग भेव भेव जस्ट बार्किंग लाइक अ जैकॉल राइट गिविंग ऑल द कंक्लूजन ऑफ वेदस बट से मुखे एबे सदा बोले हरि हरि। नाउ फ्रॉम द सेम माउथ वेर इज लॉजिक वॉज कमिंग थ्रू नाउ हरि हरि इज कमिंग आउट एंड इट इज ऑल योर मर्सी माई डियर गोपीनाथ आचार्य। सौरभम भट्टाचार्य सच अ लर्नड स्कॉलर बेस्ड ऑन हिज इंटेलेक्ट कुड नॉट अंडरस्टैंड श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु बट वेन ही वॉज गिवन मर्सी बाय गोपीनाथ आचार्य देन ही गॉट द मर्सी ऑफ श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु एंड फाइनली ही कुड अंडरस्टैंड श्री चैतन्य तत्व। Thus, simply by the mercy of a Vaishnava, simply when we please the Vaishnava, when we please the spiritual master, can we act. I told Srila Prabhupada, but I don't know how he looks like. Srila Prabhupada said, just wait a minute. And immediately Srila Prabhupada posed for a picture. And based on that pose of Srila Prabhupada, Jadurani Mataji painted the picture of Paramatma which we see in the books of Srila Prabhupada. And one devotee was mentioning that even if one travels by the speed of mind, one cannot see the Paramatma within the heart. But if one simply pleases the spiritual master, immediately the revelation of Paramatma comes to him. Simply by pleasing Srila Prabhupada, she got the revelation of how Paramatma looks like and she would paint Paramatma as he is within the heart. Right. Simply by service to the spiritual master. It is explained in the Sri Sampradaya that Kanchipurna was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Varadaraj. And he was constantly serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Varadaraj. Every single day he would come and fan the Lord Varadaraj in his temple with the chamara. And Kanchipurna was very well known to have direct discussions and dialogue with the Lord Varadaraj. So one fine day there was a particular devotee who was very much attached to Kanchipurna. He was illiterate. He did not know any scriptures. He did not know how to read and write. But he was extremely attached to Shripad Kanchipurna. He asked Kanchipurna, when you go to Lord Varadaraj to fan him, and I have heard that you talk to him, just ask the Lord, is there any hope for me to go back to Godhead in this life? So Kanchipurna went there. And he was continuing his service to fan the Lord. And he was thinking in his mind. So Lord Varadaraj said, I think you have something in your mind. Why don't you ask me? So Kanchipurna asked Lord Varadaraj. There's one devotee, he has asked me this question. Is there any hope for him that he would go back to Godhead? Lord Varadaraj said, what kind of question are you asking, Kanchipurna? Right. Is this a question to ask? Because the very fact that he is so attached to him, there is 100% guarantee that he will go back to Godhead this very lifetime. So Kanchipurna came and told this devotee, and this devotee was very satisfied. Now after a few days, Kanchipurna got a question in his mind. This person is serving, very attached to me, and he will go back to Godhead, but will I go back to Godhead? So he came and he was in a confusion in his mind. He did not know what to do. Right. So he was thinking about this question. So Lord Varadaraj could immediately understand there is this question in his mind. So he said, Kanchipurna, kindly ask, what is your question? Kanchipurna asked, my dear Lord, will I go back to Godhead in this lifetime? The Lord said, no, not possible at all. There is no way that you can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Only he who has served a Vaishnava can go back to Godhead. Now he was serving the Lord directly, talking to the Lord directly, and the Lord is saying, only through Vaishnava Seva, only he who has served a Vaishnava in his life can get my mercy and go back to Godhead. Therefore there is no chance for you. So Kanchipurna said, my God, I am serving the Lord so much and I have no chance to go back to Godhead. Better I stop this service and go and serve a Vaishnava. So Kanchipurna stopped serving Lord Varadaraj and came to the house of Mahapurna, a great devotee of the Lord. And Mahapurna and Kanchipurna are God brothers, the disciples of Yatiraj, the disciples of Alabanda or Yamunacharya. Right. So, how can a God brother accept service from another God brother? And Kanchipurna was known to be a great devotee who was directly talking to Varadaraj.
So what did Kanchipurna do? He changed his clothes and he took the role of a cowherd boy.
Right.
And he went to Mahapurna and started serving Mahapurna menially. Every day very humbly he would take his cows to the pasture grounds, graze the cows and then bring them back, bathe the cows. Very nicely he was taking care of all of the cows. So one fine day it was raining very heavily and it was late evening. And Kanchipurna had hidden his sannyasi clothes, his Vaishnava clothes in a place so that no one comes to know that he is Kanchipurna. So it was raining very heavily and his clothes were drenched. He was completely wet. So when he came back to the barn, he put the cows in the barn and he was completely wet. He changed his attire because he only had one set of clothes. He put on the clothes of Kanchipurna and took rest there. Meanwhile, Mahapurna there was thinking, my cowherd boy, my favorite child, you see. What has happened to him? He must be completely wet now. I must take a set of clothes and give him back to change. So Mahapurna took a set of clothes, dry clothes, and came to the barn to see Kanchipurna. And he started calling him, oh my dear cowherd boy, oh my dear cowherd boy, get up, I have brought a set of clothes for you, came with the lantern. And when he saw closely, he saw the clothes of a Vaishnava, he saw, my God, this is Kanchipurna, what is this? He has been cheating me. I thought that he was an ordinary cowherd boy. He changed his attire. I could not even make out that he was Kanchipurna. He woke Kanchipurna up and said to Kanchipurna, what is this, my dear Prabhu? Why are you doing like this? You are such a great devotee of Lord Varadaraj. How can you come and serve me menially like this? He said, the Lord has told me, unless I serve a Vaishnava, I cannot get perfection in my life. I cannot go back to Godhead. Kanchipurna said, now enough, sir. Mahapurna said, now enough service is done. Now you kindly go back to Lord Varadaraj and continue your service to him. Now on the basis of this strength, we'll go back to Godhead. So once again, Kanchipurna came and resumed his service to fan Lord Varadaraj. And at this point of time, Lord Varadaraj told him, don't worry. Now you have served a Vaishnava menially, now you will definitely go back to Godhead. Therefore, the Shandilya Smriti says, Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti Samshayo Sevati Achyuta. Nisamshayattu Bhaktastu Paricharya Ratatmanam. There is a doubt whether you will get perfection by serving the Lord. But if you serve a devotee of the Lord, all perfection will come upon such a devotee. Right? So we will summarize what we discussed this morning. Firstly, we discussed how the Lord is Klesha Vinashanaya. Anyone who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is completely exhausted of all of his material miseries. The Lord's lotus feet are like an umbrella which shower nectar. The Lord's lotus feet are like a beautiful, crystal, calm, cool lake of water. The Lord's katha is compared to a river of nectar. And anyone who takes shelter of the Lord's glories or the lotus feet is exhausted of all of his miseries. Then secondly, we discussed how the Lord is mana vacha vega puro javaya. He cannot be understood by one's intellect. He can only be understood when he decides to give his mercy to the follower. Right? And therefore, we discussed the four arguments given by David Hume and the four refutations as presented by Suhotra Swami Maharaj. Then we discussed that simply by the mercy of the Lord, not by pravachan, not by intellect, not by learning in scriptures, one can understand the Lord. Simply by the mercy of the Lord, one can understand Him. Romaharshan Sut was very learned, but since he didn't have the mercy of the Lord, he could not understand the absolute truth. How will one get the mercy of the Lord? By service to a devotee. We quoted the example of Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. How by the mercy of Gopinath Acharya, he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. And finally, we quoted the story of Kanchipurna serving Varadaraj. How by service to the devotee, one can ultimately get perfection. And he who is Manovacha Puro Vega Puro Javaya can be understood by his causeless mercy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.